got faster today. Good morning, everybody. If you can, turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Today's title is, How Do You Know? We're going to be going over the difference how you can tell between a truthful pastor or a truthful church and one that is being deceitful. What's interesting about the Bible, everybody says that the Bible is so outdated. The Bible was written so many years ago that how could it relate to today? It actually has a lot to do with what we go through today. As we've talked about the different chaotic things that are going on in the world. But in this one, what he's going to be getting at is he's talking about us being able to test and how we can prove if something is of God or not. And one of the things that they do is this test that he puts here is we test everything in the spirit and we test to see what they say about Jesus. Because today there's a lot of people that say, oh, Jesus never really existed. Well, obviously they're not historians. Obviously they don't look into history at all, because there's actually more evidence of Jesus living, dying, living again than there is that even Caesar Augustus ever lived. There's more historical evidence based upon different groups that have recordings about Jesus. And then there's also the ones that say they try to take the story of Jesus and they twist it and manipulate it just slightly to get it to say what they want it to say. For instance, like that song that we were singing, where it says, Jesus, you are God. That is a very important aspect of who Jesus is that he is God. He's not just the Son of God. He's not just the Savior. He's not just the Messiah, but he is God. He was God, he is God, and he will always be God. We can look at John 1:1, where it talks about in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. There is a group that takes it and they change one letter. They actually add in one letter into that verse, and it changes the meaning completely. They say, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Well, that changes who Jesus is, because later on in the chapter it says, then the Word became flesh. In Revelation, it tells us, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who lived and died and lives again. And remember, if you look at anything in the Old Testament, the Alpha and the Omega, the only one that has ever claimed that is God himself. And when did God die? On the cross for us. But as we get into these verses, one thing that we have to know is that at this time, people weren't denying that Jesus was God within the church. There weren't different factions of Jesus being God. They believed that their factions were, did Jesus actually live as a man? So let's get into it. Chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God, for there are many false prophets in the world. If you don't know, I'm teaching out of the New Living Translation. And so other versions might say, don't believe every spirit. But then it talks about people that speak in that spirit. The New Living Translation just makes it a little bit more simplified. And so everything that I say, and I always tell you guys this, and I will always tell you this, test everything I say based upon the Bible. Test everything I say and put it up against the Spirit of God and see how it lines up. I don't ever want to speak something that isn't truthful. I don't ever want to speak something that isn't biblically accurate. Because if we start to teach outside of the Bible, if we start to teach our own message, if we start to go into our own thing, then I can easily deceive you guys. And that's why it's so important that you guys read the Bible on your own. You get into the Word of God, because I don't want to be able to someday go off my rocker, completely go crazy, start saying enough of the truth for you guys to believe it, and then add in the lie afterwards. There are enough groups out there that do that. We'll talk about them a little bit later. But do not believe every single thing I say. Don't take what I say just because I'm a pastor, just because I'm up here in front, means that I know everything and that everything I say is truthful. Base it or test it based upon what the Bible says. Test it. Ask for the Spirit for discernment before you come. Because the Holy Spirit wants to minister to you at all times. The Holy Spirit doesn't want you just to be ignorant. God wants you to be knowledgeable. That's the reason why he wrote the Bible. Because you have to remember, it was authored by God, penned by human. And so God put this manual down for us for a very specific reason. We're not like back in medieval times and before that, when the Bible was only in Latin and only the priest can speak it and read it, and you had to listen to them. If you question anything that they did, basically you were kicked out, you're disassociated, you were cast out. And if you go even back even further, that's how the Jews were. Now I am not anti-Semitic. I do believe that the Jews are still God's chosen people, because God calls them his chosen people. They will always be God's chosen people. But what they did was they took the Hebrew, and Hebrew wasn't a very common language once all these the Babylonians came in and conquered, and the Greeks, and then the Romans, and all these people, they conquered them. So Hebrew wasn't a language that even the Jews knew overly well. And so what it was the priests that were having to tell the Jews what to say. They had certain scriptures that they had memorized. They had certain scriptures that they knew, but everything else was up to the priest to tell them what it said. Well, that was never the way that God wanted it to be. When God wrote the Ten Commandments, he wrote it on tablets so that people can see. Yes, they were then put in the Ark of the Covenant, but they were put on tablets so people can see the Word of God. God told his prophets to write things down so that the people can know and read what God wanted them to know. He never wanted it to be where just people were telling other people what to do. And so everything that I say, everything that I do, test it on the Bible. Don't take my word for it. Because then, like how it says, for there are many false prophets or false teachers in the world. And then it goes straight into it on how you can tell if they're a false teacher or a false prophet. Verse 2. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here. So, how do we know if the person is speaking of God? Well, they're going to speak the truth. At this time, like I said, the big debate wasn't so much that Jesus was God, because believers believed that Jesus was God. There was no denying that Jesus was God. But where they differed is Jesus has a body. Like how it says there, if a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person is of the Spirit of God, or has the Spirit of God. Because what they would believe, what many of them would believe is, well, God, he can't become fully human because of our impure state. And so God cannot become impure and remain pure at the same time. And so they say, well, then Jesus, if with that, Jesus couldn't have been a real man. Jesus couldn't have been a real person and a real body. The only problem is that we know that Jesus was born. If he wasn't born, then Mary probably had the easiest labor in the world if it wasn't a real body. He grew up. We find that in Matthew where it says that he grew in the Lord. He grew quickly in the Lord. And so he was a child. He played. His body actually aged. It grew up. If Jesus didn't have a real body, why would God go through all of that? Wouldn't you think that he would just show up on the scene as an adult? And then why would he choose 33? If he didn't have a real body and he could choose any age, why wouldn't he choose somebody that was older that can actually have more pull with other people? Jesus was real. He even showed that to Thomas after he was resurrected, and Thomas was like, well, unless I put my finger in his wounds, unless I touch the piercing in his side, I will not believe. And so then Jesus, when he showed up, what did he do? Did he say, look, Thomas, here's my wounds? No, he said, look, touch, feel. They're still there. The crown of thorns that pierced his head, the wounds were still there. Thomas was able to see it. And if he didn't have a real body, then what did they crucify? Was it just a spirit hanging on the cross? And so what he's getting at here is saying, look, if they say that the truth of who Jesus was, the complete truth, and at this time, it was having to do with his physical body. If they give out the full truth of who Jesus is, then they're of God. But yet, if they don't, like how it talks in verse 3, but if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, about the Antichrist. Okay? This is not referring to the Antichrist in end time. This is referring to those that are anti-Christ. They are actually deliberately going against Christ. And we can see that in today's society. There are groups out there that they claim to be Christians. They claim to be Bible teaching followers, but yet they twist and manipulate the word to get it to say what they want. There's a group out there that doesn't believe in hell. They don't believe that we get to go to heaven. We inherit the earth forever. They don't believe that Jesus is God. There's another group that believes that Jesus is the brother of Satan. There's a group that says Jesus is the Archangel Michael in human form. There are some that believe that we don't get to go to heaven. Instead, if we're good enough, we get our own planet to be a god over. because that's in the Bible. I think they took the whole inheriting the earth literally. Like, they get their own earth. They get to be their own God. And so if you don't know the Bible, if you don't actually look at the Old and the New Testament, and you're only going off what these people tell you, you have to understand, I actually mentioned two different groups right there. I'm not going to say who they are. I'm pretty sure we all know. But what they tell you is to read only their book, because their book explains the Bible. The Bible is too complicated for us to know, and so we have to listen to what other people tell us that the Bible really says, because they had some revelation from God that really describes what the Bible was saying. Sorry, the Bible doesn't tell us that. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, now refer to another document to explain what this document says. And if God is going to be complete, and God is going to tell us, here's a manual on how to live your life, if he wanted us to refer to another book, don't you think he would have told us about the other book? And then what would be the point of writing this one? What would be the point of spending over 2,000 years going through 60 or 40 different authors writing 60 different books for, if all he wanted you to do was read another book to explain that book? How many of you have ever gone to buy like a piece of furniture or to buy something that you have to assemble, open up the manual and you're in the middle of it and it says, now refer to this other book? How many of you would trust that at that point? Or how many of you would be like, what? We would be like, that is stupid. That's incomplete. That makes no sense at all. Now, I've opened up manuals that they just make one general manual for like a bunch of different products. And they'll say, if you have this product, turn to this page. And they'll refer you to another part to get the more specific aspects of it. But they never referred me to another book that I don't even have. So why would God provide one book, just say that we had to go to another book? That's where we have to be knowledgeable in this manual. So that way, when people tell us to read another manual, we'll go, that's not right. Are you sure? You want me to read this other book that this guy was told about in a cave on some golden plates? Hopefully you guys understood where I'm referring to now. If not, it's the Book of Mormon, okay? That's another thing, is that if you don't know the Bible, then you get these people that say, oh, I got this revelation from God that only I can see, that only I know. Now, once I left that cave was sealed up, destroyed, the plates were gone, the silver bow, nobody else could see it but me. So now you have to take my word for it. Whenever we look at the Bible, God always gives evidence of what he's saying. He gives supporting evidence. He never just says, listen to these people and take their word for it. When he told the prophets to go into a city, he would tell them to say very specific things and to say what would happen if they didn't follow them, or to tell them the people what was coming up, so that there was supporting evidence that the people could see that they were actually from God. In the Old Testament, if you claimed to be a prophet of God and you gave a false prophecy, you were killed. Because God didn't want you taking his name and just making it nothing. Remember the whole Ten Commandments? Don't take the Lord's name in what? Vain. Don't make it nothing. Because the name of God is very important. When the scribes, when they would write and rewrite these the scrolls, whenever they would get to the name of God, they would have to go and become ceremonially clean just to write one letter. Then they would go back and do it all over again until the whole name of God was written out. Anytime that God's name was said or written. That's how much they held God's name in esteem. It didn't mean nothing to them. And if God means something to us, then we are going to make sure that the people that we listen to, the people that we take their advice from, are going to be people of God. That's what John was getting at here is, look, those that you consider to be your teacher, make sure that they're actually teaching right. If they're a prophet, make sure that their prophecies are right. And you guys have heard me talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So even when a gift of the Holy Spirit is used, make sure that it's being used properly and right. Because the Bible even tells us that in the last days, there will be those that will come up that will perform many signs and wonders and cause many to go astray. And they aren't of God. And so even when we use the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of knowledge, the gift of wisdom, the gift of teaching, the gift of healing, the gift of prophecy, and all the other gifts, we have to make sure that they're actually being used properly and right. And so how I personally believe, and based upon what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians on how to use the gifts, is in a very orderly fashion. If somebody has the gift of tongues in a public setting, there needs to be an interpretation of those tongues. And even Paul even goes on to give even further clarification. Let there be 2 to 3 max. And there must be an interpreter. Now, if somebody speaks in tongues and there is no interpreter, or the person that got the interpretation doesn't speak up, that doesn't mean that that person that spoke in tongues is a heretic and we need to kick them out. It just means that the person that had the interpretation of tongues didn't listen to God. But even Paul says it had been best if that person had remained silent. Doesn't mean that the person doesn't have the gift. It's just then there's no edification of the body. The gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, will always point people back to God. Every single gift that we have, every single gift that the Holy Spirit gives, is always to point us back to one person. Always to point us back to one truth. It's never to personally edify you, to make you feel good, but it's always to edify you by pushing you to God. Because He's the only one that can make you feel better. He's the only one that can do the healing. He is the only one that can reveal stuff to you. And He's the only one that can show you the way out. So just like what he's talking about there in verse 2, that if anybody claims to be a prophet, then they'll talk about Jesus in its entirety, His truth. They'll always point back to who God is. If they try to give you another something else, then they're not of God. And I believe there are many people in the church that have good intentions. But good intentions aren't enough. You have to have that relationship with God. You have to have the Holy Spirit in your life. You always have to be going back to that foundation. So then, picking up in verse 4. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. So if you are a Christian, if you've given your life to God, if you have that sealing of the Holy Spirit, then the one that is in you is greater than the one in the world. The one in you, if you're actually listening to the one in you, can have a greater impact on your life than anything that goes on around you. Life is hard. The world is noisy. But we have to remember that the one that lives in us, when we ask Jesus to come into our lives, when we ask the Holy Spirit to baptize us anew, when we ask for all that to come into us, we're saying, we want you to drown out that noise. We want you to become greater in me than myself. And remember, like how he just says there, but we belong to God. We've already won the victory over the world. We've already won the victory over death. Our destination is no longer hell, but heaven. Our destination is to spend eternity with God, not eternity separated from God. I love kids. I really do. Normally, it doesn't distract me at all. But if we don't take ownership of that victory, if we don't say, yes, the one that is living in me is greater, then we start to listen to the lie. We start to allow the noise of this world to overpower Jesus because of our own desires. You have to understand, Jesus, he doesn't want to do anything against our will. And so if we want to follow him, he will let us follow him. He will give us guidance. He will help us along this path. But yet, if we decide that we don't want to listen to him anymore, he's not going to shout at us. Because what does the Bible say? He stands at the door, and does it say he pounds? No, he says he stands at the door knocking. If anyone were to open up, he will come in and dine with them. He will have that relationship with you, but he's not going to make you do it. It's up to you. It's always been up to you. Just like testing everything in the Spirit is up to you guys. It's not up to me to say, okay, now this is how this is in the Bible. It's not up to me to make sure that I clarify every single aspect of it so that you know that what I'm teaching is the Bible. Paul even says to several of the different churches, but in the church of Ephesus, he says, look, you guys should be teaching people by now. You should be the ones leading, but instead, let me give you the basics. Let me give you milk instead of the meat. Let me give you something that is easy to understand, not complicated. Because there does become a point where we have to take ownership of our own relationship with God. It's not the pastor that has this relationship for you. It's you. And you, just like when you became an adult and you had to start paying taxes, rent, mortgage, get a job, take care of kids. You know, yeah, your parents will be there to help you. But ultimately, it's on you at that point. You are an adult. And sometimes adulting sucks. It does. I think we all agree with that. Sometimes it would be nice if we could just be underneath our parents and our parents took care of everything for us. But it's the same thing with our relationship with God. You have to take ownership of yourself. It's your relationship with God. You're not going to live your relationship through God vicariously through my relationship with God. My whole job is to encourage to edify, and to strengthen. My whole job is to equip the saints. Okay? The saints is not what the Catholics say the saints are. The saints is everybody that is a believer in Jesus Christ. You have been made holy, and you are now a saint of God. And that's my job, is to equip you guys to do the work of God. Not to make pew fillers, but to get people that are going to disciple others, who then are going to disciple others, who are then going to disciple others. Like I've said to you guys before, I don't care if people come to this church or not. People that you bring to church, get them into church. Get them to know the truth of God more so than being a member of Guadalupe Community Church. Because we're a small part of the universal body of God. Some Sundays we're really small portion. But we are still a portion of God's body, and we all have our own jobs to do for God. Everything that we do is always to be reflected back to Jesus Christ and who he is, not what they can do for us as a body. God will take care of what we need as a congregational body. And so, going on in verse 5, those people belong to this world, so they speak from a world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. But we belong to God, and those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. That is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. He's not saying that. He's not trying to push himself up or put himself on a pedestal. He's saying, look, the truth that we're giving out, they will either listen to it or they will deny it. If they listen to the truth, then that's how you can tell who is of the spirit and who is of deception. Because those that are wanting to be about deception are going to argue and push back, and not just push back, but shut down to the truth. That's why it's important for us to know the Bible. As you can see, I can keep pushing back to that. You have to know the Bible. You don't have to have the Bible memorized, but you need to know the Bible so you can know the truth. So you won't be deceived. So you won't be like how they talk about in Ephesians, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, anything that comes up. You're like, oh, that sounds good. Still talks about God love, and so I'm all for it. But it could be a deception. And there are so many people that have drank the Kool-Aid of this deception that they believe it's truth. That's why we have to have something that guides our life. We have to have a base point that we put all truth on top of. We have to have something that we can test to make sure it's true. How many of you have kids that are going through Common Core math? Okay, how many of you know what Common Core math is? Did you even know that they can change math? You thought math was like a universal thing, right? No, they changed it. We all know that 2 + 2 = 4, right? No, now kids have to explain and show how come 2 + 2 = 4. It's not just like, oh, look, I have 4 fingers. No, that doesn't count. They don't want them just to know the answer. They want them to know the reason why they know the answer. If that was the case, I probably never would have made it out. And it's the same thing. We have to know why we know it. Not just we know it, we have to know why we know it. That's why it's so important for us to have apologetics. An apologetics course is just a course that goes over what you know and why you know it, or what we believe and why we believe it. It goes into it, but in order to have that, you also have to base it upon a foundation. You have to have a reason why all that other truth that you talk about is true. And it all goes back to the fact that Jesus is God. What did he tell Peter? He said, when he asked Peter, who do the people say I am? When he asked Peter about his love for him, when he asked Peter basically about doctrinal, and Peter said, you are Christ the Lord, what did Jesus then say to him? He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Upon this foundation, that Jesus is God, he will build that foundation. He wasn't referring to Peter being the rock that then the Pope and the priests and everything else came from. And what's always interesting is, this is a little side tangent on Catholics, is if there are any Catholics or people that grew up Catholics, I'm sorry if I offend you. What's always interesting to me is the Pope has to be from what line? Peter's, right? They have to show that he comes from Peter, that his family is. Peter had a family, but yet the Pope can't have a family. So how was Peter the first Pope? He already broke the rule. He broke the rule that they set up. And then you take, I'm sorry, popes contradict each other. Whenever they teach, they contradict what the previous pope has said. They contradict each other. That's why we have to have a foundation that all truths are weighed upon. That's why we have to test everything by the Spirit, because the truth does not change over time. The truth is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And who else is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow? God. He doesn't change. How he reaches people does change. That's the awesome thing about God, but his truth never changes. We're not graded on a curve. It's you're in or you're not. God doesn't have a gray area. Like we talked about a couple weeks ago, you are either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. Like how it says here, you're either of the Spirit of God or you're the spirit of deception or the spirit of Antichrist. You're one or the other. And the only way that we can know the way to salvation is by reading a source that has been proven true over and over and over again. Nostradamus, he has, 85% accuracy rate in his prophecies? That's pretty impressive. God has 100%. The Bible has 100% accuracy rate. Every single prophecy, except for end times prophecy, have come true. For Jesus' birth, there were over 300 prophecies that were fulfilled exactly the way they were said. His death, over 100. His resurrection, over 100. That's a God that I want to follow. And so we need to be able to test everything based upon the Bible. We need to know who God is. Don't take my word for it. Read the Bible. test it on what the Bible says. If I said something that is inaccurate, let me know. Tell me. Sometimes I might say an inaccurate verse. Okay, I might tell you the wrong reference to a verse. If that happens, I'm sorry, I'm human. But if I misquote a verse completely, misquote the meaning of the verse, misquote everything, I want to know. Because I want to make sure what I say is biblically accurate. Not going off on my own. Not just trying to fulfill my own desires of being this pastor. Because trust me, you asked me 5 years ago if I was going to be a pastor, I'd be like, uh-uh, don't scare me. I like kids. They're easy. That's why I don't mind noise. Dealing with youth for 10 years, they're never quiet. And so, look at your life. Analyze it. Figure it out. What spirit are you listening to? If you're trying to just make it through, then you're not listening to God. Because God says, look, I have so much more in store for you. I don't want you just to make it through. I want to be there with you. He is a light unto our path. So think about this next week. And once again, if I offended anybody in here this morning, I'm sorry. Also, at the same time, not really. Let's pray. God, we just praise you for this morning. I ask that you would just reveal to us the clarity of the Word of God. Allow us just to test everything that is said to us, everything that we do, based upon you. Based upon your spirit, based upon your word, allow it to base upon your truth and reveal to us where the lies are in our life, the darkness. Shine your light and just expel everything that is holding us back from you and allow us to ultimately do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you guys can, don't run off.